Hey, everybody. My name's Dane.
And I'm Jimmy.
And our podcast is called Bubbling Questions.
We do would-you-rathers from listeners and a Twitter bot.
Along with one-person game shows using ridiculous stuff we find on the internet.
Like, what kind of dick are we talking?
I shall not tell you.
Okay. All from our very real hot tub.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Very real. Not a gimmick at all. Find Bubbling Questions wherever you get podcasts.
And I'm Jimmy.
And welcome to Escapist Comics Podcast. I'm Jessica Balboni.
I'm Jesse Hitt.
Today is Thursday, May 11th, 2017.
Yep, 5-11, man.
5-11.
It's like the band plus 200.
Ooh, 4-11? 3-11,
yeah.
3-11 to 4-11?
No, that's musical geniuses, 3-11. Pioneers of shitty white guy rap.
Yay. Much like Smash Mouth.
Yeah, they're sort of in the same category.
And I was going to say Papa Roach, but no, that's not right. I was thinking of another blonde one. What's the...
Yeah, Crazy Town? Are you thinking of Crazy Town?
No, no, no. I was Sweet... No. Well, what's the other? Sugar Ray.
Yeah, there you go.
I was like, Sweet, my brain's going there. Yeah. Yeah, that one.
I just felt bad for Sugar Ray's DJ. DJ Homicide.
Oh, my God.
Wanted to be like a real like hip-hop DJ and then started making a shitload of money with Sugar Ray and was like, oh, I guess this is my life now.
You know they had like a 90s... revival tour, and like it was like Sugar Ray and Smash Mouth, mm-hmm. 311, and they all went on tour together.
Yeah, that's not surprising. There's a yearly 311 cruise.
There is.
It's kind of like that.
Yeah, Doug Benson goes on that cruise.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. Hey, just trapped on a boat with a bunch of 40-year-old dudes doing Jaeger bombs and puking over the side.
Yeah, and bleaching their hair together.
Oh, there's Sublime Sun tramp stamp showing. Jesus Christ, what a nightmare.
Sublime.
I like Sublime too.
Oh, we just admitted things together.
Yeah.
Come all together with us and relive our days of the 90s.
Yeah.
We all listen to at least Sublime is good music.
Well, and it's like it's okay to like shitty stuff. The problem I have is it's the problem when people insist that shitty stuff is not shitty because they like it.
Right.
Or if somebody says, like, I'm a big 311 fan, I'd be like, yeah, great, live your life. But if they're like, 311 makes great music, I'd be like, I got to stop you right there. This is where we don't agree.
Right. I wonder who's buying those tickets, though, to these, like, big tours.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, I almost want to go. I don't want to buy it. Like, if it was free mm-hmm. to go just to, like, study these people.
Yeah.
And take notes.
It's like one of the, it seems like one of those events where, like, from an outsider's perspective, you're like, oh, that seems gross. But then if you're actually there, it turns out it's actually, like, a lot of fun. That's how I feel about, like, NASCAR and, like, monster truck events. It's like, oh, God, these fucking hillbillies. And then you're there, you're like, these hillbillies are so much fun.
Right.
I love these hillbillies. This is awesome.
There's also a tour right now for Paula Abdul, New Kids on the Block.
Mm-hmm.
I think, and one other...
Like Backstreet Boys, maybe?
No. Oh, God, who was it? It wasn't Backstreet Boys, because they weren't alive yet, I don't think.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, they were children.
They were. End of the Road.
Boys to Men.
Thank you.
Oh,
yeah.
Sick.
Yeah.
Are all the members of Boys to Men still alive? I thought one of them died.
Maybe they replaced him with someone who could sing
like that. The deep voice guy
the
with
deep
the cane.
Voice guy.
He had a cane.
He did
early
have a cane.
On in life. Was,
yeah, maybe he didn't survive.
He's not doing well.
Aw.
My favorite member of Boys to Men.
But if you guys want tickets to that, I hear they're like $100.
Okay.
And yeah, you can go see them in San Jose this summer.
Yeah, that's reasonable. Boys to Men actually just a super talented group.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Like, they were one of the, I guess not one of the few. There are a lot of like super talented, like sort of teen R&B groups.
Yeah.
And then some super untalented people like Paula Abdul, who's pretty good at dancing.
Yeah.
Not so good at singing.
Not at all.
Yeah.
They never solved that mystery of that woman who was singing her songs for her, did they?
Oh, I don't think they did, no.
No. I think they just settled out of court.
Yeah, they never definitively proved. Because that's not like against the law, right, to have somebody else do the vocals on your album.
No, it's just against the law to like not pay them or...
Yeah.
Which I think something like that happened.
I remember when I found out that Milli Vanilli didn't do their own vocals, I felt betrayed as an 8-year-old.
Well, then they won a Grammy for that person singing for them.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
And then it turned out it was false.
Mm-hmm. And then one of them died, so what goes around comes around.
Oh, no.
you trick the J-Man. when are you going to end up dead?
You strike down people who don't sing actual music?
Yeah, 15 years later, one of them drops dead.
Watch out. He has the power.
Yeah, that's my mutant power. I can curse people that have lip-synced. Wait, yeah, the people that have lip-synced and passed others music off as their own.
Watch out, Ashley Simpson.
I curse them. 15 years later, one of them dies.
Ashley Simpson, he's coming for you. Mm-hmm.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, she's on the list.
So,
she's in my Death Note book.
We read comics this week.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't think they had anything to do with music.
Yeah, I think we're still like still feeling punchy, still recovering from Free Comic Book Day.
Oh, yeah, we are.
Which was this
sure.
past Saturday. Hey, if you were there, thanks for swinging by.
Oh, yeah, and definitely. It was a great event. Thanks again to Nick Dragota, Justin Greenwood, yeah. Ramon Villalobos, and Maggie Ram. You guys were awesome. You drew so many sketches. Mm-hmm. They were amazing. If you guys missed it, check us or check all of them out on Twitter at Escapist Comics or on our Facebook.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we still have some signed stuff kicking around, too. So if you're looking for a signed volume of East of West or maybe East for Extinction or a Nighthawk single issue, swing by. And chances are we'll have one. Maybe a Stumptown.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Yeah. We have those. And I hear rumors that they might be coming back next year too, and then maybe some additional guests.
Yeah, awesome.
Also, last week we had Brian Wood on.
That's right.
Who was amazing.
Yeah.
And that interview is up now, so definitely check that out.
Mm-hmm.
And then next week we're going to have Jason McNamara on.
Yeah.
So lots of interviews and lots of cool stuff coming up on the podcast, so please listen.
Yeah. And if you're not listening right now, well, you're not hearing what I say. So
we are feeling punchy.
Got real circular there, real quick.
This week, there's a lot of Marvel. We're also going to catch you up on Secret Empire since we didn't read that last week, and there was a Free Comic Book Day Secret Empire as well.
That's right.
Lots of confusing things are happening. So before we get into Marvel, let's get into Image this week.
Let's do it real quick because there's a couple good ones.
Yeah.
And Marvel is just a tangled web these days.
Oh, my God.
But in kind of a good way.
Yeah, there are a lot of good stuff.
Yeah.
We want to do Black Cloud first?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. So Black Cloud, speaking of guests in the store, number two came out this week. And this was a little crazy.
Yeah. The first issue sort of introduced us to this. The main character
is
magical. This takes place in a universe where there's all these different worlds sort of laid on top of each other.
Mm-hmm.
And the world that we live in is only one of many, and they're all very different. Some of them have animal people in them, and some of them are super futuristic, and some of them are all fantasy-ish with flying things. And the main character, Zelda, is able to somehow transport between worlds.
Right.
And it's strongly implied that she's from a world that's not our own.
Yes.
Where she's sort of outcast a little bit. She's not welcome there anymore for some reason.
Right. And this issue gets a little bit more into that, why she's not welcome there anymore, but not fully. It just starts to unravel a little bit. And they're also dealing with an election.
Yeah.
I do like how they play a little bit on our world. There's a lot of huge buttons.
The main politician
hats.
Is a little bit Trumpy. That's sort of the secondary conflict in this is that Zelda's been hired by this mayoral candidate to hide his own kid who's kind of a problem. They're worried that he's going to fuck up the electability of the candidate. So they hire Zelda and be like, hey, could you hide him somewhere? And she takes him into one of these parallel worlds and now can't. Get him out.
Yeah, she just left him there.
Yeah, so we got an angry future mayor.
Right. An angry wife, mostly.
Ooh, yeah, she's pissed.
The wife loves her son,
yep.
even though he's a problem child,
yeah.
and definitely is questioning the mayor about where he went. He doesn't really seem too involved.
Yeah,
he doesn't care.
The character kind of looks like a cross between like a Donald Trump and Martin Sheen from The West Wing. Like, he's got the Sheen hair, but he's wearing the red Republican tie.
Yeah. And I love the art in this, first of all.
Yeah.
Greg Hinkle's doing an amazing job. And I actually saw all of these pages without words at Trickster's art show.
Oh, sweet.
So I was really glad to be able to get it filled in. And then met with Matt Wilson's colors, too.
Yeah. The way Hinkle does faces is so awesome. Like you see, when you read a lot of superhero comics, you kind of get, you can see that the artist focuses mostly on drawing like the bodies and the orientation. Sometimes the faces get a little bit too similar across the board. But man, Greg Hinkle.
Yeah, the expressions.
Communicating via facial expression.
Yeah. So you also see, too, that when Zelda comes back from that world that she gets really disoriented
too.
Yeah. She doesn't like remember where she is. She kind of looks like a crazy person to other people. Yeah. And so we're also unraveling too that like when she gets back, she doesn't know where she is. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, she doesn't remember a lot of things. So she has to like get reoriented back into our world.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, a lot happens in this issue, but we still don't really know completely what's going on.
Yeah, we still get a glimpse into like the volatility of Zelda's power, that it's not like a consistent thing that she can just do all the time, that it really does like take something out of her.
Yeah.
And is very difficult for her to do.
But yeah. One of my favorite moments in this was we get our first introduction to Chibi Lem.
Yeah.
He's so adorable.
Reminded me of both Kazoo, the guy from the Flintstones.
Oh, yeah.
And also the little bug from Fuck Fairyland.
Oh, yeah.
And a little bit of Geppetto.
Larry.
Also. Yeah, yeah, totally. Larry. Yeah, Larry.
Yeah, so this is actually Lem from the first book. He's like the big chameleon-looking guy.
Yeah,
but this
that's
is the shrunken down chibi version of him, who I didn't know was going to be in the book. I thought they just like made him a little version.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
As like a cute variant cover. Mm-hmm. But it turns out he's actually in the book. I don't know if they just decided this, because I don't even remember seeing him in the pages before.
Yeah.
So I think they actually just decided to put him in later.
Sweet.
Because he's so cute.
Yeah, and he's right up there. He's very easy. He's just in a panel of black, so it's easy to draw him in if you want.
Yeah. And I wasn't sure if she was just thinking about him.
Or, I think so. I think she was expecting to see him.
Yeah.
But then encountered another guy who's like guarding the sort of the gateway area.
Right.
So that she can use to transport.
Yeah. So she's actually having trouble going back, right, in this issue too, to go find the mayor's son, Todd. Right, Todd?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
We also get introduced to a character named Frank, who we don't get to see his face at all. He's kind of like a mystery character.
Yeah, we get a little flashback into Zelda's previous life before she was either exiled or escaped from her original world.
Right. And I noticed there's a big sandwich in this.
Hell yeah.
I was like, this is going to be Jesse's favorite
page. They know what I like, yeah. Mila Tour, just a couple of sandwich enthusiasts.
And again, some more beautiful pages, the architecture. In the city, we get a floating city in one panel. And we kind of get an idea that maybe the city doesn't look like this anymore.
Yeah.
Something has happened later on, because when we saw in the first issue, like it definitely didn't look this serene anymore.
Possibly the same event that forced Zelda out, or maybe even was caused by Zelda.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too. Yeah.
And that's why she's no longer welcome.
Yeah. So again, she's trying to get back into her world. We actually get to meet somebody else who's in our world now. And they have some kind of turmoil that has happened. We get a little bit more hints that there is some kind of revolution.
Yeah.
In their world.
And a possible friend or possible foe for Zelda. We don't know yet.
Right.
This new person who runs like a little corner store.
Right. And then it kind of ends with her going back or trying to go back into her world. We know that water is a transitioning pool, but it's going to be like a tough transition.
Yeah, yeah. It's not easy.
No. And it may be like she just kind of like walks out into the ocean and it kind of ends there. And we don't know what's going to happen next. So I will say this issue is it's not an easy read, but I think you should definitely stick with it.
Yeah, if you didn't read number one, don't start with number two.
No, don't start with number two. Definitely get
lost.
Number one. And I think it'll definitely be worth it. I know they like hint in the next issue that we're going to see like Zelda in her battleware. And so we're definitely going to find out more information in the next one.
Yep.
Also, there's a nice picture of Latour and Ivan and Greg Hinkle signing at Escapist Comics.
Yeah, that's true. It's a Black Cloud number one launch event in Berkeley, California on April 8th.
Couldn't say escapist, guys.
Yeah, well.
Couldn't say escapist. Come on. I read that last night, and I was like, huh, what? Yeah. Well, we all know that
can't
it's at Escapist Comics.
Maybe from now on when we do signings, we should put a big banner up behind the people doing the signings.
Yeah,
that says Escapist
that too.
Comics, in case they snap a picture.
In case they forget.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, to all our listeners, you all know that they were there.
Yeah.
So maybe I'll write in a letter. Tell Mariah, were you editing this, Mariah?
Yeah, come
on.
Did you purposely edit our names? This is a vicious attack.
So that was Black Cloud number two. Also from Image this week, we had Regression.
Ooh.
Number one from
Cullen Bunn.
Yeah, Cullen Bunn. And
back at it with the horror writing.
Yeah. Danny Luckart, who mm-hmm. I don't know. Luckart?
Yeah, I wasn't familiar with that either. I really do like the art, though.
Yeah, and then Marie Enger was the mm-hmm. colorist and letterer. So this is, yeah, definitely a horror comic.
Yeah, a lot of gross imagery.
Yeah, if you're scared of bugs, if you're, what is it, an entophobe?
That sounds right. Yeah.
Do not pick up this book, because mm-hmm. it has the grossest bug imagery I've ever seen.
It really does. This, I mean, the grossest bug stuff, this set of insects.
Oh, yeah.
This is actually more family-friendly than insects. There's no bug fucking in this one.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just gross. Bug, a lot of maggots, a lot of flies.
Oh, yeah. Just bug larvae mm-hmm. everywhere. So it's kind of about a guy who's like hallucinating,
yeah.
really disgusting, like bugs coming out of people's faces.
And he doesn't know why.
Yeah, he doesn't know why.
He just seems to be just a regular guy. His friends are a little worried about him. They think he might be on drugs or something, but it turns out he's just having these horrifying hallucinations.
Yeah, like all throughout the
day. And he can't figure it out.
Yeah. And he has like a really concerned friend who takes mm-hmm. him to a hypnotist.
Well, this is where the book got problematic for me. This is they take him to a comedy club where a comedy hypnotist is performing, which, to give you guys a little bit of insight into the comedy industry, the hypnotists and magicians, the worst. This book is working to normalize hypnotism comedy, and I don't care for it, if we're being quite honest.
Have you worked with many hypnotists, Jesse?
Yeah, a couple times. Had to follow a few. It's always just a series of shitty puns and sexual innuendos.
Ooh.
And yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, I recognize that this is a skill, but I wish that you weren't doing it near me.
Have you ever been hypnotized?
I haven't, no.
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 Yeah, I've only like had like serious like psychology like hypnotized.
Yeah,
never,
my
like...
grandma got hypnotized to stop smoking and it worked.
Oh, that's good.
So, you know, I mean,
yeah.
As a practice generally, I don't have a problem with hypnotism, but when it's taking place within the sacred bounds of a comedy club, I don't care for it.
Yeah, I knew you'd have a comment about
yeah.
this.
And although they do accurately depict a comedy club. It's in like the corner of a shitty strip mall.
And it's called The Spot,
yeah.
which sounds about right.
Yeah. Actually, probably the best comedy club in Sacramento is the Sacramento Comedy Spot.
Oh, well, there you go.
And it's in not exactly a strip mall. It's like a nice, what do they call those places? Starts with a P. Promenade,
yeah. It was like a parking lot.
It's attached to a parking lot, actually. It's near a parking lot.
I wasn't wrong.
But so his friend takes him, and, you know, some friend taking you to a comedy hypnotism show, but...
You're right.
In hopes that this guy is saying that the comedy hypnotist is an actual, real, skilled hypnotist.
Yeah.
And might be able to help her friend out with these horrible hallucinations.
I'm wondering, like, is he making more money, though, as a comedy hypnotist than, like, an actual, like, psychoanalyst-type hypnotist?
Probably, yeah.
You think
I would
so?
Guess if you break it down, like, hourly, yeah, you probably make more per hour doing comedy hypnotism than
I guess if you're successful.
Actual therapeutic. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, some people make like $300 an hour, though.
Yeah. Well, for a 90-minute show, a headliner could pretty easily get like $500.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he's not doing that like every day for like an
That's
hour.
That's true. Probably
like,
Thursday through Sunday. Yeah. Two shows on Friday. Or Saturday. Or both.
So, yeah. So this book, obviously, as the title suggests, gets into mm-hmm. regression therapy.
Right.
Some of the younger listeners might not remember, regression therapy was huge in the 90s, in the early 90s.
Yeah, you can go see what your past lives were.
Right.
It was always something interesting. It was never like, you worked at a yarn factory in your past life. You died of colon cancer when you were 34.
Died of typhoid.
Yeah, you had a really shitty, boring past life.
Yeah.
Everybody was like a king or a prince or a like magician. Everybody was always something cool in their past lives.
And also, it wasn't just like past lives. It always brought up like really terrible things that happened to you as mm-hmm. in your childhood.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I actually, like, my mom like got really into it for one. And she would go see this guy, like, it was like in Sebastopol or something. Mm-hmm. And he was like treating people, you know, that they would always have like you know, like sexually abused or, you know, stuff like that. And it, you know, turned out that a lot of these people doing this type of therapy were quacks.
Basically. Yeah, and we're sort of planting the suggestions.
Exactly.
And then, yeah, building false memories in a lot of cases.
So I have kind of a strong connection to this book already as soon as I started reading it, because I was just like, oh, God, it just brought up all this stuff from my childhood. I was like, fuck. and I actually, I tweeted to Cullen Bunn about this, because there's actually a whole, you know, column in the back of this book, because his father... did regression therapy when he was a kid. He said he was kind of like a jack of all trades and got into regression therapy as well. And would hypnotize people and talk about their past lives. So, I'd like that it was a kind of a personal experience in this book. And it kind of shows, too. He did it really, really well. So when the guy starts to hypnotize our main character in this book, he puts him to sleep. And which the character doesn't even remember, and you immediately see like all of these kind of lives, like past lives, go before you, and in a really interesting way too. Mm-hmm. And you kind of see this one character, like with the
evil
rope around his neck.
Sort of a Rasputin type of guy, like an evil wizard slash scientist.
Yeah, and like he's definitely probably sacrificed somebody at one point. Mm-hmm. He's got a noose around his neck. There's bugs flying around him.
Mm-hmm.
And our main character like immediately starts screaming in his head.
Mm-hmm.
And he wakes up and doesn't remember any of it. And so we know that nothing is going to come out of this.
Yeah,
nothing
when he
good.
Snaps out of it, he has no recollection of the events.
Yeah.
And claims that he can't be hypnotized. And then his friend says, oh, no, you were just hypnotized very thoroughly.
And they also don't tell him like what they heard from him either.
Yeah, which is kind of mean.
Yeah.
On their part. Like, just tell the guy. Jeez.
Because we know nothing good is going to come out of it. You should probably tell him what happened.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, it probably awakes something, I think, inside
of
him,
too. That's kind of what it looks like, because he goes home and falls asleep.
Yeah.
And has an even more vivid hallucination than the ones he's had in the past, where he sees this sort of evil past version of himself sneaking up on him with a bloody knife.
And naked.
Oh, yeah. And then past version of self cuts open current version of self, and giant scary bug pops out.
Yeah, what's with the bugs?
I know, and that is a gross-looking bug.
Yeah, it's like a giant larva with... And he looks like cracking his bones. And
kind of a scorpion tail a little bit.
Yeah, it's like a mix of all sorts of gross bugs.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of... And it ends with a shocking conclusion. We'll let you guys get to that.
Yep.
But yeah, definitely if you're into horror, Cullen Bunn does it extremely well.
Yeah.
Pick up this book because it was pretty great.
Yeah, if you're fans of like sort of monster stuff, like if you're reading Clean Room.
Right.
And sort of missing John Davis Hunt's scary monster art.
Yeah, it's very
similar. Check this one out. Yeah.
Yeah, it's very definitely reminded me of John Davis Hunt's art.
Yeah.
And Harrow County too.
Yeah, totally.
You know, kind of similar to that, but in the present.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely pick this one up, guys.
Two thumbs up. For regression. 3 thumbs down for comedy hypnotists.
I don't think I've ever seen a comedy hypnotist show. I've seen magician shows.
Yeah, it's fallen out of favor more recently, but it used to be pretty popular.
I saw a magician on one of Doug Benson's show.
Oh.
And that was terrible.
Yeah. Magic, up close magic can be really cool.
Yeah.
But a lot of the guys who do comedy magic are just, like, bad at it.
Oh, yeah. I've seen, like, big live magic shows that have been great.
Yeah.
But, yeah, comedy magic, no good.
Yeah.
It turns into, like, a mix of prop comedy and then magic. And you're just like, oh, come on.
Unless you're the amazing Jonathan, stay home. That guy rules. I'm sure there are other good comedy magicians. I just haven't seen them.
Is there? I don't know.
Yeah. I know there's some bad ones around here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. That's the one I saw. I don't remember his name. Otherwise, I'd warn you. All right, so let's get into Marvel.
Yeah, wow. And more Secret Empire.
Yes.
That's still chugging along. The X-Men reboots are still happening.
Yeah, so we just get into Secret Empire? Do you want to get into the other ones first?
We could start with Secret Empire because they all kind of like
link
spiral
into that.
Outward from there. Yeah.
Yeah. So Secret Empire number one was last week, and then the Secret Empire Free Comic Book Day comic came out as well. So we're still not quite sure when the Secret Empire Free Comic Book Day comic falls.
Yeah.
We are told that it's between 0 and 1.
Right.
But we don't believe it.
Secret Empire 1/2.
Right.
Again, super annoying that they do the number 0, number 1 thing. Like,
yeah,
what is
it
accomplished by that numbering system?
Nothing.
We don't need number 0.
I mean, yeah, because they call it a prequel. But it's, I mean, just call it number 1.
Yeah, it's just the beginning of the story, so yeah. Just say it's number 1.
Oh, that's so silly.
And then Marvel sometimes do the 1.5 thing, too.
Oh, God.
Marvel, come on, just number.
One. They do the point 1.
Yeah, just number them. Just number them regular. Yeah. Or don't number them at all. Just do it by what month it came out. Like, that would be okay, too.
I used to do that.
Yeah.
So the secret, and we'll just start with the free comic book day one, mm-hmm. I guess, because I say that's the order, but I don't know.
That sort of picks up. It's drawn by Andrea Sorrentino, who does Old Man Logan, or did Old Man Logan. I'm not sure if he's still doing it, but
yeah,
super great.
And he's actually going to be doing more of Secret Empire, too.
Oh, awesome.
Number 3
okay.
is as well.
Yeah, I'm on board with that.
Yeah, the art's amazing in this.
Yeah.
So, basically, Captain America has taken over at this mm-hmm. point, and there's a gigantic battle.
Yeah.
In this Free Comic Book Day comic.
Yeah, so at the end of Zero, Manhattan had been, or no, yeah, New York had been trapped in that magic negative zone area.
Right.
A bunch of people had been locked out in space via the planetary shield.
Right.
And Washington, D.C. was sort of like the last, about to be the last battleground.
Right.
And then this one picks up with the battle for Washington, D.C.
Yes.
And Captain America and Hydra just kicking the shit out of a bunch of Marvel heroes.
Yeah, and like really kicking the shit out of them.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah,
like
bad.
It almost looks like they are gonna die. Like,
yeah, it seems that way.
Like Vision just starts spouting out a bunch of 0, 1, 1, 1s, like binary mm-hmm. code. And
Miles Morales gets knocked out.
Yeah, it looks like he gets shot in the head. Almost.
Yeah, I think that's just Sorrentino drawing like a tattered face mask though.
Okay. Well, yeah. Cause basically, he uses. Well, okay. We'll get to that in a second.
Yeah.
So, Thor gets knocked out, drops mm-hmm. her hammer.
Yep.
Wanda gets blasted.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even sure what with, but she gets blasted.
Yeah, with something.
Like basically a bunch of lightning comes out of somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Spider-Man, who I thought was trapped in New York.
Yeah, me too.
But I guess not.
Yeah, it looks like all the champions are still out and about. Amadeus Cho is free. Miles Morales, Viv, daughter of Vision.
Yeah, but yeah, both Iron Mans. The
Miss Marvel's out and still, you know, doing her thing.
The fake, not Thunderbolt Ross Hulk is there. Whatever his name is.
Oh yeah, the USA Avenger.
Yeah, USA Avenger.
Wasp is around still.
Yeah.
There's sort of this motley collection of heroes that are still resisting the Hydra takeover.
Right. And this is like Baron Zemo, who's there, like, fighting all of them. Mm-hmm. It's like it's a bunch of really bad guys, basically. And then, like, Captain America just, like, casually strolls up,
mm-hmm.
like, just walking into this giant battle after all of our heroes are getting blasted. And literally, like, one Iron Man gets, like, blasted through the gut. But luckily, he's the AI Iron Man,
So it's just an empty suit.
Right. And at this point, Thor's hammer is on the ground,
mm-hmm.
and Captain America just picks it up.
Right.
So we don't really know what that means.
And that's what people were upset about with the Zero, because they sort of teased this last page before Free Comic Book Day.
Right.
And everyone was like, oh no, the evil Nazi bad man is lifting the hammer.
Right, because it means that he's worthy.
Yeah. And given the fact that a lot of the actual white nationalist neo-Nazi guys use a lot of that sort of Norse mythology imagery stuff, I think that was another thing that was upsetting
to people.
Yeah,
pissing people off. What I also didn't understand, too, is, okay, so all the heroes are, like, on the ground at mm-hmm. his feet.
Yep.
Why would he just let them go?
Yeah, because when we pick up with Secret Empire number 1, things are not back to normal, but everyone's okay. Yeah, you would think they would have put him in some kind of S.H.I.E.L.D. secret prison.
Exactly.
Like we find out in Secret Empire 1 and Secret Warriors that they're putting Inhumans.
Yeah.
All the Inhumans are being rounded up and put in these special prisons.
Exactly.
So why wouldn't they do that with all the knocked out heroes that they now have?
Right. Like we see Miss Marvel on the ground, yet she's in Secret. We're going to talk about Secret Warriors in a minute. She's out mm-hmm. running around.
Yep. Miles Morales.
Yeah, Miles Morales. Everyone. everyone is. There's no way he just let them go.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Did he just leave after that?
He's just like, all right, like they'll be fine.
Yeah. Good seeing you guys.
Yeah.
All right.
I won. Yeah. You're dead, right? All right.
Be safe out there.
So, yeah, I don't buy it that this is between 0 and 1.
Yeah.
Or if it is, they made a huge mistake.
Yeah, it's very inconsistent.
Yeah. Oh, I can't even use the word huge. Every time I say it, it just like doesn't.
Yeah.
Damn it, Donald Trump, for taking that word away from me.
Yeah.
Fucker. All right. Well, also in this free comic book day comic, I'll just mention really quick, there's a really good Peter Parker Spider-Man preview.
Yeah, the new Chip Zdarsky book.
Chip Zdarsky.
It's going to be tight.
I recommend it.
That's the perfect hero for Chip Zdarsky to be writing.
Yeah,
like a real...
smart mouth.
Yeah, a lot of zingers.
Yeah. So check that out. We still have some issues of Secret Empire at the store for Free Comic Book Day. If you're a subscriber, you are free to come pick one up.
Mm-hmm.
So then, yeah, Secret Empire number one. Yeah, basically it doesn't talk about any of that stuff.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah, it kind of picks up in a world where Hydra has completely taken over and the population has been pacified. Kids have to yell Hail Hydra before school.
Yeah.
Instead of say the Pledge of Allegiance. We value trust authority, punish weakness, report threats. Which is not that far off from
what's happening right now.
Kids,
yeah. Yeah, it's a little scary. It's we got a bunch of pins from Marvel that like have the Hydra symbol, so I just wrote like resist on them.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, I felt that was probably better to wear right now.
Yeah.
Especially with what's going on in the news. Yeah, so it basically Captain Marvel's still stuck in space. She's still trying to get through.
Yep.
They show one frame of Doctor Strange still trying to break through.
Yep.
And there's, multiple heroes that are trying to build up like a resistance factor still.
Yeah.
They're not going to just like give up, obviously.
Yeah, but there's also, we meet the new Avengers team that's being led by Captain America.
Right.
Made up of Unworthy Thor, just good old Odin's son.
Yeah.
Scarlet Witch, I guess.
Yeah.
Vision. Mm-hmm. Taskmaster, which is nice to see Taskmaster around. I like him.
Yeah.
Deadpool. Some kind of Spider-Man / I'm not sure which spider person this is, but they have Dr. Octopus arms on.
Yeah. Is that a superior?
And a version of Ant-Man.
Yes.
But I
think that's
weird
Scott Lang, Ant-Man.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and Vision, who was just getting beat up in the Free Comic Book Day issue, and has now decided to join forces with evil Captain America, which you think Vision would be maybe immune to the brainwashing, but I guess he has human brain waves.
Yeah.
So it's unclear why
and
these
why
people
And why is Scarlet
are...
Witch doing it, too?
Yeah,
like, why is
because she's
like
a brain person. Yeah. I mean, Deadpool's doing it for money, for sure, because that's his...
He doesn't care, I guess.
Oh, Superior Octopus.
That's what it is,
Which, I don't know who that is.
Yeah. Oh, there's so many of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't understand why these heroes have decided to join up with Captain America.
And this will pit Vision directly against his own daughter.
It will, yeah.
Oh, it says that this Avengers person is Black Ant.
Oh, it is?
And Scott Lang is regular Ant-Man. He's still a good guy. I don't know who this Black Ant character is.
Maybe he's... Oh.
Like a bad?
That looks like Scott Lang. That's
Black
Ant.
Similar. It's almost similar. The same costume, but with a more.
Oh, I see. He has
fuller
like his
face
shoulder
mask.
Thing.
Yeah.
Oh, Black Ant is one of Scott Lang's enemies.
Okay.
Yeah. So he is literally just a bad guy.
Okay. Yeah. Evil Ant Man.
Evil Ant Man. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. I'm still kind of liking the story though. Like I like a lot of the themes that they're bringing in. Like Hydra, this organization that the new Steve Rogers says is protecting everybody. They're really just about like authoritarian rule.
And
concentration of power in the executive branch of the government. And like a lot of like interesting themes are coming in.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And then we still have a bunch of the Avengers like teaming up. You know, obviously Black Widow, she's going to start her own team, I guess.
Yep.
And she's retraining them too. This is going to be like a side Secret Empire issue, which looks really cool. And she's actually going to use some of her old Russian techniques.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Sweet.
So it actually sounds pretty cool. I think that's the Secret Empire Uprising issue.
Yeah. Okay.
And she's bringing, like, Miss Marvel in and, like, Wasp, Unstoppable Wasp. And she, awesome. Yeah. So I'm interested to see what they're going to do with that.
Yeah, that'll be a good team.
And they're like, how bad can it be? And it's like, oh, you want to know how bad it can be with her retraining?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Probably pretty crappy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so also, well, I mean, we'll see where it goes.
Yeah, Rick Jones gets executed in this issue.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty,
he's
that was
dead.
Pretty harsh.
Yeah, firing squad.
Yeah, and that's what I wanted to know, too. Like, how does the Melinger feel he's worthy if he's executing people?
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know.
Maybe because deep down,
he's still good, but he's still executing people. I don't know. But yeah, so there's going to be a lot of backup issues. Obviously, they tell you what you can follow, you mm-hmm. know, in this back of this issue. And one of them came out this week, and that was Secret Warriors.
Yeah.
By Matthew Rosenberg.
Yeah.
And Javier Garon.
Yeah, with a cool Trad Moore cover on some of the issues.
Yeah, I got the hip-hop cover.
Ooh, nice.
Because it was damaged.
Yeah, oh, perfect.
It's a pretty awesome hip-hop cover. And this is going to have Quake and Miss Marvel, mm-hmm. Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur, and Karnak.
Yeah, and, oh yeah, Karnak's in here being Karnak.
Yeah, he's very Karnak-y.
Yeah, the storytelling, I really enjoyed Secret Warriors. I think that this is my favorite. I liked it a lot better than I'm liking the main title so far.
Definitely.
Just because Matthew Rosenberg's storytelling is really great. Really effective use of flashbacks in this as a storytelling device. Just mm-hmm. like really, really well done.
Yeah, and the language he uses is really fun. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's fresh and young.
Yeah, it is. We get to see that Hydra allows a lot of really shitty facial hair in their foot soldiers, which you wouldn't think for like an authoritarian organization. Right. They would make you be clean shaven and not allow all these mohawks and undercuts. But hey.
And these mustaches.
Yeah.
Goddamn hipster mustaches.
Yeah, there's a lot of them.
There is.
There's at least three characters in this book with shitty West Oakland mustaches.
We should talk to Mr. Rosenberg about that. Yeah.
Where did you get inspiration for these characters?
He would laugh.
So this one's following sort of a rogue team of an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. What's her name?
Quake?
Yeah, who has like these cool power gauntlets that she can like shoot. So she's also an Inhuman.
Yeah.
She has the power to like shoot sort of disruptive waves and knock things over and break things.
Yeah, and she came directly from like the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. show.
Yeah, I thought so. It seemed like, and Agent Coulson is in here, who you said was also an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. guy.
Yeah.
And this is a team, she was originally a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent. She was sent off on kind of a wild goose chase by Steve Rogers.
Yeah.
And it was a suicide mission because he wanted to get rid of this particular group of inhuman S.H.I.E.L.D. agents.
Yeah.
And he almost succeeded, but one of them survived.
Right.
And guess what? She's back. She's hatching a plan.
She is.
She's going to get you, Steve Rogers.
She's on a mission.
Yeah, she teams up with Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur.
Oh, yeah, and it was great when she teams up with them, too.
Yeah.
They actually save her.
Yeah. Oh, Miss Marvel, too.
And Miss Marvel, yeah.
Devil Dinosaur just straight up fucking murders a guy.
He just
bites a man in half.
Literally eats people.
I mean, I love it, but also, like, that's a guy, he was just a regular S.H.I.E.L.D. agent who got brainwashed. He's not, like, necessarily a bad guy. He has a family.
He
just got eaten by a Devil Dinosaur.
I love that Devil Dinosaur is actually doing what a Devil Dinosaur should, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Because he's a dinosaur, and, like, he needs to eat.
Yeah, that's true.
What is he supposed to do?
Yeah, well, I think they were scavengers, right? Tyrannosauruses, they say.
Yeah.
Definitely meat eaters.
But what is he going to scavenge? Is he going to scavenge all the time? It's not like there's like dead cows lying around
everywhere. Do they address that in Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur at all? What is he?
I don't think they do.
Just like buy him like two whole cows a day. I guess they're cold blooded, so they don't need to eat as often.
Yeah, they don't need to eat as often.
Reptiles eat like once a week something, right?
Yeah, okay. It's usually pretty good. But yeah,
so like one
still
cow
need to
a week.
Eat like a large amount.
Yeah, probably.
Probably like two cows.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, I mean, he's really big.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. He's at the size, like larger than a regular Tyrannosaurus, it looks like.
Yeah, I think he's a large guy.
Also, we find out in this issue that Devil Dinosaur can sniff out whether people have been brainwashed by Hydra or not.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's going to be a useful skill come in handy down the line.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite scenes, actually, is when they're trying to figure out if Quake is bad or not. And she's like, check her out, Devil Dinosaur. She's like, okay, she's good. And I love the way Javier draws Devil, too.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome. So they all team up together, and it turns out Quake actually has a bunch of prisoners in the back of this van still.
Yeah, a bunch of Inhumans that they break out. Yeah. There's Inferno, a guy who has fire powers, it
looks
like. I
thought that was Drax. Is that not Drax?
No, it's a Drax-looking alien with like a weird bug head. Okay. I thought it was Drax at first, too.
I thought he just had like a helmet on or something.
But then it has like the Drax skin color, the Drax like body
tattoos. Yeah, it has
tattoos. Yeah.
Oh, all right.
But I think
Fair enough.
Not. It might be, it's an Inhuman, so I guess it used to be a person.
All right.
And then got transformed into this giant weird bug thing.
That looks just like Drax.
Yeah, Drax, okay. Insect Man.
Well, they need to change his tattoos because it fooled me.
Yeah, it was a little confusing, unnecessarily.
So yeah, this book jumps back and forth, and they did a really good job of, it didn't like disrupt the flow of the book at all.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to see like what happened with her past and how she got away from, from Steve, like trapping her,
yep.
And with all the other agents and stuff. Yeah, I thought they did a really good job of that. And then going back again to the current plot.
Yep.
So yeah, they did a good job.
They're
of
breaking
that.
Into this camp where Shield / Hydra is keeping all of the or a bunch of Inhumans that they've captured.
Yeah.
So they break in. They break out Karnak. Say, hey, Karnak, you want to help us? And Karnak's like,
no,
I don't think so. Karnak's is good old asshole Karnak. So.
I love that he's like, they have food here. I'll stay.
Yeah, he's like, what more do I want? Like,
and a bed.
Yeah.
I was like, you know, they have other places with that stuff. Do you want to stay in this prison? And then he decides he'll go with them because he likes Moon Girl.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, which is awesome.
Yeah.
And they're on the lookout. They're on the hunt for like another Inhuman, it seems like, but they don't really say who, I don't think.
Yeah, they say there's an Inhuman who was kidnapped by the X-Men, and that's who they need to.
Yeah, they're looking for somebody.
Yeah,
we don't yet know who.
Yeah, so survey says 2 thumbs up on this book. I'm definitely gonna stick with it.
Look, cool action, good storytelling, great characters.
Yeah,
what's not to like? You know,
exactly. A lot of swearing.
Yeah, totally.
Which gets of course blocked out by Marvel's editing.
Yeah,
but you know what they're implying.
Yeah. Well, should we take a quick break and then get back with some more reviews and some news?
Yeah, we have one more Marvel book to. Oh no, a couple more.
Yeah,
and then some news.
All right, we'll be right back.
If you enjoy the show, rate and review us at SoundCloud, iTunes, or Stitcher.
Or come visit the store, the Escapist Comics Bookstore, located at 3090 Claremont Avenue in Berkeley, California, open 7 days a week. Find us online at escapistcomics.com, Twitter at Escapist Comics, or send us an email at hello@escapistcomics.com. Put podcast in the subject line.
And we're back.
Hey, everyone.
Hey.
We made it.
So, we also read Weapon X from Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
This is number 3, continued by Greg Pak and Greg Land.
And probably my favorite of the X books.
Yeah.
I mean, definitely my favorite of the 3 currently ongoing X books.
I like X-Men Blue, too. But,
yeah.
Yeah, I like Weapon X. It's an easy read. You don't have to think about it very much. You know, it's just they're continuing their road trip. Good old Logan and Sabretooth.
Weapon X program is still trying to find mutants to take DNA from to make these killer robots out of.
Yeah.
Sabretooth and Old Man Logan are trying to stop them.
Yep.
So far, the Weapon X project, they've captured, they have a piece of Logan. They have a piece of Sabretooth. They captured Warpath.
Right.
And now they're looking for Domino.
Yes. And they don't. Like in the beginning of this, Logan and Sabretooth don't know that they're looking for Domino yet.
Mm-hmm.
They're just like on the trail. They got like a GPS locator.
Yep.
They find out how dumb the clones are, basically.
Yeah. And for the second time in 3 issues, we get to see Old Man Logan using a computer.
Yeah.
And Sabretooth is amazed at Logan's computering skills. It's pretty great. This is like an ongoing theme. It's like he's an old man who knows how to use the internet.
Yeah.
Everyone is astounded at that.
Right. It's turning a little bit into like a buddy cop.
It kind of is. Yeah, it's kind of fun to see Logan and his brother getting along so well.
Yeah, I like
going on adventures together.
Yeah.
Eating at a diner.
They're at a donut shop.
Yeah, trading jabs.
Yeah. Talking about coffee. Buying guns.
Yeah, it turns out we also find out that Logan doesn't drink coffee anymore because it makes him too jittery.
Yeah. And Sabretooth knows how to buy guns in Bend, Oregon. Just with a lot of cash.
Yeah, sure. That's how gun shops work, right?
Yeah.
He goes, say, I'll give you $600. And they're like, that's actually how much guns usually cost.
Yeah, I know. So I was like, he chose like a fistful of $100 bills. And I'm like, that doesn't look like very much money.
No, you can't have a rocket launcher for the price of a regular gun. Sorry.
Yeah, he walks out with a lot of guns.
Yeah, in this world, that works.
$600, I guess. Apparently, Bend, Oregon, have really cheap guns.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they end up going to Isla Cedros.
Mm-hmm.
Isla Cedros, is that right?
Yeah, in Baja somewhere.
Baja, California.
Domino's out there doing some treasure hunting. That's her new day job.
Yeah.
She's pretty tight. I forgot how much I love Domino. She's awesome. It's from that era where they were like, creators were actively trying to come up with cool new superpowers instead of going with the same old like, this one's strong, this one can fly, this one's bulletproof. So she has like the ability to like manipulate probability via telepathic power, which is really cool. Like, what a cool thing for someone to be able to do.
It was always kind of like muddy though. Like her,
totally.
You didn't know exactly what it meant, but it was kind of cool.
And it just kind of translates into her whooping everyone's ass all the time.
Yeah, that's basically
which is fine
it
with
is.
Me. Like, yeah, it's totally all right.
And now, she's just kind of like living life. And, like, I mean, what a cool power to use to create luck, because, like, you'll basically be able to find money anywhere, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You're creating
your own
luck.
Yeah.
So she's finding doubloons out in the middle of the ocean, basically.
Yeah.
And the little clones have found her out in the ocean.
Yeah, the scary bald robot guys.
Yeah, and if these guys came out to me in the ocean when I was finding doubloons, I would not, because they basically look like Nazis, first of all.
Yeah, they do, yeah. There's like, just two identical hairless men on a boat together.
Yeah.
That's not good.
No.
That's a red flag right
definitely
there.
Definitely a red flag. And especially when the beach is like right there and they're like, we're lost. And you're like, it's but the beach. Like,
yeah.
Literally,
yeah.
Like,
what are you lost from?
That would immediately get my guard up. And she even says, she's like, how did I not know that something was up?
Yeah, she does recognize it pretty quickly. And it leads to a sweet boat-on-boat fight scene.
Yeah, with more crazy Terminator robots.
Yeah. You find out that they can't really swim that well.
Yeah. They just sink.
Yeah.
I don't know why they even jumped in the water.
Yeah, that was kind of dumb. They're going to be blown up, but like they're made of adamantium, so you would think adamantium can withstand a grenade.
Yeah. Well, I guess they have like a self-destruct mechanism.
They do, yeah.
They're pretty strong. She tries the grenade, that doesn't work, and then they basically start sinking the water.
Looking strangers. There's a lot of weapons.
You're clawed man. Here you go.
Yeah, he does have creepily long fingernails all the time.
And he has fangs.
Yeah. Nothing grosses me out worse than a dude with long fingernails.
Oh, so like the coke nail?
Oh, boy, that is just horrifying.
Ugh. Yeah, long fingernails and toenails. Like when they're wearing sandals.
Woo, yeah.
Ugh.
Yikes.
No.
It's just basic hygiene, guys. Come on.
And sandals, too.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're going to wear an open-toed shoe, just do the most basic hygiene.
I mean,
exercises. First
of all, don't wear sandals.
Yeah, it's never really necessary. It's never been so hot that I'm like, oh, man, I got to not be wearing shoes outdoors now.
Unless you're going to the beach, don't wear sandals.
Yeah.
Ever. And even then, like, you know, you can always just take your shoes off.
Yeah, Rob Delaney had a great tweet that he's not, like, an authoritarian by any measure, but he does think you should be given, like, a fine for wearing sandals if you're more than a mile away from a beach.
Definitely. I agree with that. we still like Weapon X if you're looking for an X-book.
Yeah, they're going to keep going. It looks like they allude to, in the next issue, they're going to start trying to chase down Amadeus Cho for this.
I guess they need some
Hulk DNA.
It says to be continued in Totally Awesome Hulk number 19. I'm not going to continue this in Totally Awesome Hulk 19.
Yeah, they're doing kind of that thing that's a huge hassle where they're like, you got to read a different, you got to read a single issue of a different comic if you want to get the rest of the story from this one. It's, come on, guys.
I'm sure you'll be fine to continue it in this next issue of Weapon X.
Yeah.
I'm sure you'll continue just fine.
Pick up Weapon X number 4.
Yeah. Ignore that. They're just trying to sell you on another comic.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to completely go over what X-Men Blue, but I did enjoy this next issue. There is a lot more pointy Jean Grey. That's not getting any better. But this is a really solid X book. You get Sentinels in this next issue, but it turns out they're cozy Sentinels.
Oh, nice.
They're
furry on the outside, like soft ones?
No, they're not soft, but they want to help the mutants.
Oh, that's cool. Well, they had that one. Didn't X-Force or X-Factor or one of those teams have a Sentinel that was on their side that was like their buddy?
Yeah, I think I remember that.
It was like their mobile sort of Jarvis computer type of thing,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, they turned it around to help
them. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah, this one says they want to help them as well, which I never trust.
Yeah.
And it does turn out that maybe they're maybe not be the best of friends in the end.
Oh, crap.
But for a while, anyways, they might be on their side. So, yeah, this X-Men book continues to be pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Especially if you're just looking for a classic type X book.
Hell yeah.
We got a new villain in it that's going to turn out to be quite a hassle later.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing that's bothering me is the last three pages, we get a really abrupt art change. And I think it's just because Molina can't keep up with the two-week schedule.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah. So... besides that, though, thumbs up for X-Men Blue.
Do we get any more info on Magic Beast?
No.
And why he knows magic?
Not yet.
Still a mystery.
There's a lot of subplots going on in this book that are not confusing, so that's good, but they're all just kind of like lingering in the background.
Okay, I'm into that.
Yeah. So yeah, X-Men Blue. You read another indie book.
I did. We'll I read a Mindbender from Scout Comics. That's a sort of a story, it seems like, starts off with this kid at the fair with his parents. Something happens, the kid freaks out a little bit, and turns out he has some sort of power that vaporizes both of his parents.
Yeah.
And he gets locked up in a mental institution in a catatonic state for the next 17 years. A new employee comes to the mental institution, accidentally sort of unlocks something within this guy, and it turns out that he's this... maybe there's like an all-powerful being that lives inside of him, or maybe he just has these powers... and they were waiting until now to the, you know, they had been dormant.
Yeah.
But it's cool. Like, the art's really good.
It looks great.
Like it's going to be this cool kind of like dark fantasy / sci-fi story. And written by a guy whose twin brother, I guess, is a comic book writer also. Huh. This guy, yeah, that was one of the interesting parts with James Pruitt. In the letters section, he talks about it a little bit that he wrote comics in like the late 90s. And then he got out of it and became started a career in compliance in the financial securities industry, I guess, to make more money
of
than
course,
you do making indie comics.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, can't blame him for that.
Yeah.
But his twin brother is a comic book writer also. Mm-hmm. And through talking to his brother, he decided that he wanted to get back into it.
Cool.
And this is an idea that he's been sitting on since the late 90s, and now he finally has a chance to write it out.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the art looks great, at least.
It does, It looks like it's cool. I'm curious to see where it goes. I'm definitely going to give it, like, the first issue was pretty good. There were some parts that were a little clunky, and maybe because the guy had a, 17-year layoff from writing comics,
right.
And he's shaking off the rust a little bit. But it's cool. It looks like a cool character, a cool story, cool environment,
There's good art. A lot of new, indie books that are coming out, like Scout and Vault.
Like Aftershock.
Yeah.
A lot of, like, smaller... They're not quite, it's not like, it's that little, that gray area between the self-published books and your, like, Images and Dark Horse.
Right. They're just trying to make it out.
Yeah.
That's really well published, It's
Totally. The coloring's good. It doesn't have that ink that smells weird.
That's always a plus.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll keep checking out Mindbender.
Recommend Mindbender.
Yeah. All right, we'll get into some news. There's a lot of news today.
Yeah, tons of projects coming out.
So many things. First of all, The Gifted is that new X-Men show that's coming out for Fox by Bryan Singer. They released a photo today I guess there's going to be a preview that comes out on Sunday, so we'll definitely look for that. This is from Bryan Singer, and it's going to be about Lorna Dane, a.k.a. Okay. Polaris, who, do you remember, is Magneto's supposedly biological daughter.
Okay.
She was also engaged to Havoc at one point.
Yeah, I remember that name for some reason. I remember the character name, but not the superhero name. I don't know why. Maybe because Lorna Dane's a weird...
Well, she was first introduced in X-Men number 49, I think.
Okay.
And so, yeah, she's had a long history with the X-Men. She has also the power of magnetism. And there's going to be a bunch of other characters, obviously, in it as well. I think Thunderbird is going to be in it.
Okay.
Yeah, a bunch of X-Men. It looks pretty good. I can't wait to see the preview.
We're talking about like an hour-long weekly
show.
That's
gonna
be. All right, sweet.
Yeah. So look forward to the preview of that. The photo so far is just like Polaris like trapped behind like a plastic sheet with like an oxygen tube kind of like going into her mouth.
Yeah.
So it looks like she's in some kind of like plastic prison like Magneto would be in.
Okay.
yeah. So we have one thing to look forward to so far from Fox.
And Legion was so good that, you know, makes me sort of hopeful for this project, too.
Yeah. I mean, I think Legion is so good because it's the guy who does Fargo. But
yeah, that's true. Bryan Singer's done some good stuff. Was he the one that did some of the good X-Men movies?
Yeah, he did all the X-Men movies, I think, pretty much. But,
okay.
So some of them weren't great.
Yeah.
Well, he produced all of them, I think.
Okay.
So, yeah, he did some of the good ones.
Okay.
Hellboy is being rebooted, we know.
Yeah, which is kind of a bummer because the last two were so great. And why didn't they just do a third one with Guillermo del Toro?
Yeah, I think Guillermo del Toro and Mike Mignola, we talked about how that big falling out.
Yeah, both guys I could see being particular and difficult to get along with in some contexts.
I just don't know why they had to reboot it.
Yeah. It seems like you just move on. There's enough Hellboy material that you don't need to go back and retell his origin story again.
No, and it's been only 13 years to 2004, right? So like 13 years, right?
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, so I don't understand. Yeah, like there's even people who've been alive like 13 years now, like probably like seen Hellboy at this point.
Yeah, why not just make Hellboy 3?
Yeah, and yeah, I guess because they have to get a new actor and stuff. But still, you have to get a new actor. You don't have to reboot it. Like, you know the story of Hellboy,
guys. You could get a different guy to put on a giant prosthetic chin.
Yeah, and stilts, because like Ron Perlman's pretty tall, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So the guy who's playing him now is the sheriff from Stranger Things.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, I like that dude.
Yeah, I don't know if I see him as Hellboy.
Yeah, well, it's all in the makeup. I mean,
that's
what made those first two Hellboys so great was Del Toro's like physical effects stuff.
Yeah,
you know?
His practical effects are amazing.
Ape Sapien looked awesome.
That's what I'm worried about. I'm worried that it's going to be non-practical effects, like special effects.
It's going to be all CGI.
Yeah, I don't want that. Like, Del Toro does such amazing things with practical effects.
Yeah.
That's what's so great about him.
Yeah, they need to get like a Jim Henson's... what's his place called? The Creature Works or something? Like, they need that type of special effects team on it.
So
you're right. I hope they don't try to do all CGI because nothing ruins a movie quicker than too much CGI.
Yeah, unless it's like, yeah, I mean, like Guardians, they do a great job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I haven't seen it yet. I know. It's terrible, but.
Don't tweet spoilers at us.
I know. Please don't tweet spoilers at us. We're awful comic book people right now. Yeah, I just really hope they stick with the practical effects. And they last longer. I mean, Star Wars still looks great.
Totally, yeah.
They'll like never age it. Yeah, Terminator.
And then if you go back and watch The Matrix now, it's a woof.
Oh, it looks terrible.
Yeah.
It looks like a cartoon.
Yeah. I remember at the time, everybody was like, this is incredible. And it was. It was like groundbreaking. But Jesus Christ, it does not hold up.
Does not hold up at all. Same with Star Wars, like the new Star Wars movies.
Yeah, you're right.
The practical.
The pod race.
Ooh,
no, thank you.
Again, it looks like a cartoon. So the director for Hellboy is going to be Neil Marshall. He directed The Descent.
Good movie. That was when those ladies went in the cave with scary monsters. Hell yeah, that was good.
They actually have practical effects in that.
Mm-hmm. Yep, scary monsters.
Very scary monsters. And it's also going to be rated R.
Okay, I could get down with that. Although Hellboy doesn't really have a lot of. Most of the violence is like in sort of a supernatural sci-fi way. So I don't know what necessitates the R rating.
I don't either.
Because the comic is not.
No.
Particularly for mature audiences.
And it's not sweary at all.
Yeah.
Really? There's not. Because I give that to teenagers. Almost like 13.
Yeah, totally.
Like, when parents are like at that, they don't know what to get their kid that wants to watch Walking Dead, but they don't want to give them Walking Dead yet. I give them Hellboy.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't understand why it necessitates an R rating either.
Yeah. Jeez, I wonder if do you think Hellboy's gonna show his dick? Because that would
oh no
be weird.
They'd... Him and Liz are gonna have sex.
Oh jeez, some full frontal on both counts.
Oh no, that's gonna be so gross. I don't want to see that interspecies sex on Hellboy. Oh,
maybe it's Abe Sapien. Maybe he's getting fully nude.
That's why they needed the R rating. Oh no.
An extended Abe Sapien skinny dipping scene right in the middle.
Oh god. Well, we have that to look forward to now.
Yeah, wow.
The Blade Runner trailer also released.
Looks cool.
It looks amazing, except mm-hmm. for Jared Leto.
Yeah.
Okay, apparently he's the villain. Maybe that's why they cast him.
Yeah, maybe he plays a good creep.
Yeah, well, he's, I mean, when we watched it, he's obviously a replicant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he's going to be the scary replicant, mm-hmm. building more replicants from what we saw from the trailer.
Yeah, Dave Bautista's in there.
Look at you.
Good on you, Bautista.
Yeah.
Getting a bunch of movie work.
It looks like they got a lot of good people in the cast.
Mm-hmm.
They have that lady from the Millar movie that I keep forgetting the name of.
Kingsman,
yeah. With the blade legs.
Yep.
She just can kick ass all the time. Yeah. She kind of looks like Famke Janssen.
She does, yeah.
She's like
very sharp.
Yes.
Very pointy features.
She looks like the young Famke. Though Famke Janssen still looks young. So.
Yeah, she does. We see Ryan Reynolds wearing a leather jacket with a furry collar, much like Bane, I predict.
Ryan Gosling. Yeah, you can mix them up all the time,
too. Yeah, totally. Both white dudes named Ryan.
Yeah.
What a handsome white dudes named Ryan around these days.
It's like the Chris's. Chris Pine.
Oh, yeah, Chris Pratt.
Chris Pratt. Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's another one. I think there's a fourth one.
Probably.
Yeah.
There's a whole Hemsworth family. There's probably Hemsworths we don't even know about. There's like secret child Hemsworths running around.
They're just all hot.
Yeah.
But the Hemsworth main Chris Hemsworth is still the hottest. They're just all sad about it.
What if all like the Hemsworth women were just fantastically ugly?
That'd be
such a cruel twist of fate.
I bet that's true.
Yeah, maybe.
Why are they all boys? Really?
Yeah.
They're secretly taking drugs to make them sexy and not women.
Ooh, maybe there's like a eugenics program they're running in. What, New Zealand? Is that where Australia? Where
Australian.
Are those guys from? Okay.
Yeah, I think. Don't ever mix them up. They get real mad about it.
Yeah, it's one of those places.
Are you a Kiwi or are you an Aussie? We'll never know. There's also a bunch of renewals, TV renewals.
Mm-hmm.
Sleepy Hollow's getting The Axe finally,
okay.
Which people are very excited about.
I didn't even know that show was still on.
There's a lot of shows I'm probably going to tell you about that you didn't know were still on. But people are really excited about Sleepy Hollow because I don't know if you know about the bunch of controversy about it.
No.
So the woman who was playing the lead role got fired, or she left the show, actually. She didn't get fired.
Mm-hmm.
She left the show because they wouldn't pay her as much as the lead actor.
Oh,
because she was a
reasonable.
Woman and she was black.
Yeah, that's a reasonable reason to quit a job.
Yeah, totally, right?
Yeah.
So people just stopped watching it because of that.
Well, good.
Yeah.
That's as it should be.
Yeah, so people are very excited that it's finally getting canned. And it sucked, too, because they had to like change the entire plot because she left the show.
Yeah.
And then it was like her sister came on, and then she was the lead, and then they brought another woman on who was, I don't know, another family member, mm-hmm. and it just became very convoluted. Like you, I didn't even realize it was still on, though.
Yeah, it seems like that had a long run, too.
4 seasons.
Oh, okay.
Not that long. Another show that I didn't know was still on is The Originals, which is a Vampire Diaries spinoff.
Okay.
That got renewed.
Oh, well, good. Boy said we need more vampire stuff.
Yeah. I like vampire shows, but I would like a good vampire show.
Yeah. Maybe they'll adapt Redneck into a
TV
show.
That'd be cool. Yeah. I'd like to read more of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the second issue's not even out yet.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they picked up Briggsland before it was even published.
I mean, that's true. Yeah. Yeah. I would like to see. I mean, there used to be great vampire shows on. Do you remember the show Forever Night?
No.
No, that was
Night with a K?
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah,
yes,
that was a good vampire show. Yep. They should bring that back.
You know, the Blade TV show was pretty good, too.
That wasn't bad.
I mean, the same way that the movies are good.
Was that
it's
on
like
Spike
very
TV?
Stupid. It was.
Yeah.
With Sticky Fingers, the guy from Onyx.
Yeah.
So another one of those like little tiny guys who you don't realize is little tiny until you see a picture of him standing next to a full-size person. You're like, oh, my God. It's just...
very small.
Yeah, are you standing in a hole? What's happening here?
Mike Myers is that way.
Oh, really?
He's so a little dude? Short. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
He may be like 5'4".
Yeah.
Yeah. Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise, tiny.
Tiny.
David 5'6"? Spade, tiny.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he looks small, though.
He does, yeah.
He has a small bone structure.
Mm-hmm. Looks good on camera.
Yeah. iZombie got renewed.
All right.
I guess that's still on.
Mm-hmm.
People like it. It's just, it was never like the comic, so I never cared.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it would be so cool if they actually had vampires playing laser tag in the forest.
Yeah.
I mean, what a cool concept if they had a were-terrier.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's so many things I could have taken from that comic to make it cool, and they didn't.
Yeah, they made it like sort of a teen drama, right?
Or yeah, like a detective, it's like a detective-y CSI type show, and she just happens to be a zombie that eats brains. I mean, whatever.
Yeah.
Gotham also got renewed for a 4th season.
All right.
I keep going back and forth on that show. Like, I watch an episode and I like it, and then I just forget about it again. So that can't be a good sign.
Yeah, I have the same relationship where I'm like, oh, I liked that episode of that show, and then I don't watch another one for 4 months.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it wasn't that good.
Right. That said, I'm sure there's a bunch of other renewals. Those are the comic booky ones.
Mm-hmm. American Gods got a second
American
season.
American Gods got a second
announced.
Season. Yeah. I've only watched, well, there's only been 2 episodes so far.
Yeah.
So, but it's been pretty great.
Yeah.
I recommend it, downloading it if you don't have Stars. Oh, also, Twin Peaks starts this week.
Oh, another one?
Yeah, they're doing it on Showtime.
And this will be the 3rd season overall?
Yes.
Because they did the one a long time ago.
Yeah, they had 2 seasons. Mm-hmm. And then Fire Walk With Me, the movie.
Right.
Yeah, which is not good.
Yeah, Twin Peaks is one of those things that I haven't gotten on board with.
You've never watched Twin Peaks?
I haven't,
Holy shit. You should watch Twin Peaks.
I've seen stuff from it, and I'm always just wondering, like, why is everybody acting so weird? Like, does anybody on this show notice that everyone's weird as fuck?
No.
Yeah. Why is this girl missing? It's like maybe because this town is full of super weirdos, so of course there's a missing girl.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm surprised there's only one missing girl in this town.
We also found that you can have a Funko Pop of dead Laura.
Of the dead body covered in plastic.
Yeah.
Hey, neat.
It's kind of glittery.
Yeah.
It's what every child wants.
Yeah.
A dead Funko Pop.
Have you always wanted a dead teen to display in your den? In your man cave?
Well, in June, you can have one.
Gross.
I tried to order them, and they were already sold out.
Jesus, really?
Yeah.
That's what I kind of do want to check out, because the show does have such a rabid fan base. It's, and it's a lot of people whose taste I trust also. So
it's pretty great.
It's one of those I'm sure I'll get around to, but I just haven't yet.
You should just bomb through it.
I think
weekend.
I might. Yeah.
It's pretty great.
Because it's all on Netflix, right?
Yeah, it was. It might not be now. Showtime might have got the rights back. Yeah. Well, you can check. It could still be there.
Luckily, these days, you can just download anything.
You can
on the internet.
Download anything. Just don't tell anybody that we told you that.
Yeah, just raise the Jolly Roger, strap on my eye patch, do some internet piracy.
So apparently Justice League Dark has also been in production for a long time, but no one told us.
Yeah, yeah.
And apparently Guillermo del Toro was originally attached.
Mm-hmm.
He has since dropped out, and now Doug Liman from Live, Die, Repeat, you know, that had another name too,
right.
That
yeah,
Tom Cruise movie.
Yeah, what was it called in theaters? It was like, it had like a one-word title, didn't it?
Yeah.
And it's the based on the book All You Need Is Kill.
Yeah.
But it was really good.
Yeah, yeah. It had Tom Cruise and what was her name? Emily Blunt.
Yeah, there you
go. Yeah, yeah. What was the name of that movie? I don't know. Anyways, Doug Liman is directing that movie now. I saw that movie in theaters and it was really good.
Yeah, me too. It was one of those that I was surprised by because I thought it was just going to be like a standard. I thought it looked the way that the trailers were marketed made it look kind of like Starship Troopers a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we're just fighting these aliens out in space. And it turned out to be this like weird sort of mystery almost. And, really great.
It was.
Surprisingly.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, he's heading up the project now and he says he's really excited about it.
Good.
He also says, I think people will be surprised how character driven and how intimate Justice League Dark is.
Ooh.
And kind of a field bloated with comic book movies, we found a way to do something that's actually really personal and small, and that's his goal,
cool.
Or my goal. The team will feature Constantine, Zatanna, Swamp Thing, Deadman, Erdogan the Witch Boy.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, my demon number 7 will be worth something.
Hell yeah, nice.
And actually, the demon as well, who's never been in Justice League Dark before.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting.
Yeah, the Netflix Justice League Dark cartoon was really good.
Did that have the demon
from what
in
I've
it?
Heard. No.
No.
It didn't. I don't think it did, at least.
Yeah, I don't think the demon's ever been...
A lot
maybe
of Constantine
he's like,
in there.
Yeah. I think he's like made an appearance like once in a while, mm-hmm. but he's never been brought forward to the team. So, yeah, that awesome. Should be interesting. Hopefully it actually happens. I guess it's been since 2012 this has been in production.
Oh, okay.
So, but now they're actually moving forward with it.
Good.
I find it also interesting that they're not going to introduce any of these characters like beforehand.
Yeah, they're all just going to throw them all into it. Because these all have pretty convoluted backstories.
Yeah,
like, what's Dead Man doing? Well, he used to be a stuntman.
Yeah.
And then he died.
Yeah.
And now he's this guy for some reason.
Zatanna, she's a magician for a really long time with this big family of magicians.
Right.
And now here she is.
Yep. And she also knows actual magic.
Yeah. And Swamp Thing. I mean, Jesus.
Yeah,
go
he's
on
got
forever.
Multiple backstories.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll see how they do the deal with that. In other TV news, Happy, the Grant Morrison book, is being brought to Sci-Fi. They've already done the pilot, apparently.
All right.
I think we've talked about it before, but Christopher Maloney is playing the title role.
Yeah. Handsome bald guy from those crime shows and Oz.
SVU.
There you go. Yeah.
Law and Order SVU, which I think I've watched all of.
Wow, nice. Yeah. That's a big commitment.
It is.
A lot of episodes.
It's like one of those things I put on before I go to bed.
Yeah. Yeah, some little soothing before, a little soothing pre-bed show about a serial rapist who was never caught.
I have terrible nightmares. And then I'm always sad, like, when they're not on anymore. I'm like, why isn't there more Law and Order? There's only 50 million episodes.
Is that the one with Ice-T also?
Yes, it is.
Nice.
Love Ice-T.
Yeah, totally.
He's the best. Yeah, so if you're not familiar with Happy, it is about an intoxicated, corrupt ex-cop turned hitman who's adrift in a world of casual murder, soulless sex, and betrayal.
Mm-hmm.
He is also... or after a hit goes wrong, his inebriated life is forever changed by a tiny, relentlessly positive, imaginary blue-winged horse named Happy.
Yep.
Which I think is amazing.
Yeah, it's a pretty like classic, super surreal Grant Morrison stuff.
Yeah.
Super surreal, super graphic. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's going to translate to sci-fi, to regular cable, but we'll see. I mean, I'm optimistic. I like that lead actor guy, and you know, source material is pretty good.
Well, they've had some pretty graphic series on sci-fi, so, The Magicians is incredibly graphic.
Yeah.
The only thing they seem to cut out on that show is swear words, and they actually say the swear words, just leave out the first letter.
Oh, so it's like, uck you?
Yeah, it's like, uck, king.
Oh.
And like, shit.
That's one way to approach it, I guess.
Yeah, and they do it better than I just did. But yeah, it's pretty good. I mean, they have the scene in the first season of The Magicians where a girl gets violated, and it is horrifying.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm pretty sure they'll be able to put whatever they want, as long as it's 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah, good thing they don't say swear words, though. That would be... real tragedy.
Right?
Yeah.
It's fucking awful.
What if a kid heard a cuss word? Oh, no.
Yeah, but they can see this graphic scene of this woman getting like completely... Oh, God. Anyway, I won't go into it, but it's awful. So that's a lot of news.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's... I can't think of anything else that I wanted to cover news-wise.
Yeah, I think that's it. We need to go see Guardians, though, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's well, until next week then.
Until next week, guys. Yeah. We'll be back with that interview with Jason McNamara.
Yeah, that'll be awesome.
Yeah.
And hopefully more news, more comics.
Yep.
And we'll see you next time.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye, everybody.